Welcome back, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, March 5th, 2025. I have your host, James, here, and we're in part two now with our friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We have Sheriff Sean Becker with us, along with Lieutenant Doug Christensen, and want to send a big thank you to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. I messed that up, didn't I, guys?
No, you got a promotion.
I gave you a promotion, didn't I? I knew I was going to do that.
We'll have to talk to HR on your raise. We'll
there, are, we can. There are a few more embarrassing things than getting a title wrong for somebody. I apologize, Doug.
No,
I apologize.
Don't worry about it. It's all good.
Appreciate you being here, and really, especially reminiscing while also giving us a chance to show some appreciation for you in the career and the time and effort that you put into our community. We've really been enjoying this process and being able to do this. And Sean, you want to kind of continue down memory lane a little bit here with Doug
absolutely.
And some other highlights from him.
When you have a career that hits about 30 years, there's a lot of memories. Doug likes to play a lot of jokes on people, and yeah, and don't worry, we'll get even at some point, whether you're working for us or not. There will be some level of...
There's no statute of limitations on that, legally.
Well, lately, he's been leaving marbles all over everybody's office as a memory for him, just to don't lose your marbles, that kind of thing. So I was kidding with him this morning. I'm like, you might find those in your yard. So I would change the mower depth. I don't want you to break a window. I'd feel bad for a little bit, But
a second or two,
but he does, and it's nice to with what we do to bring some light to our profession, because that's where I want to segue into, because it's very important on how we got to the position Doug has right now, being a sergeant on the investigation division with that mental health focus, and we've talked about this before and how important that is. And that really evolved from Doug, on a couple different levels. One, in our department, not just, being, lighthearted with people and playing, reasonable jokes on people. It's, dealing with our own staff. And when you go up and you take a look at, all of our calls of service, and if you see something that might have been, maybe traumatic, or it might have bothered one of our staff members, and to step up and just to check on him. Mm-hmm. And that came on his own. Mm-hmm. Nobody asked him to do that. He decided to do that. And that's, and we've talked about our wellness and how that's built throughout the years, and Doug's been a huge part of that. And then, and again, we'll talk some more about that. But then the other thing, too, that evolved, that I don't think there's many other law enforcement agencies that evolved the way we did, and that's because of you, whether we want to complain about it or not. But it's a direction that it took our department that I really set us apart from a lot of people. And I think that we've been looked at now as, an agency that people look up to us on, okay, how you deal with mental health in law enforcement. Because, going back when we started our careers, there wasn't any training. It was so much different now, where it's a priority for wellness, and it's a priority for the community on how law enforcement fits when we're dealing with people that are having some struggles in their life. Whether it's something to do with a mental health issue or an illness or something. And it's always a great story that I love to brag about. Years ago, when I was in a different position and Doug was on the road, and some changes were made statutorily on how we dealt with really welfare checks, and we go to a welfare check where somebody's struggling, and I wouldn't say it was never easy, but the decision making was rather quick. If somebody was a harm to themselves or others, and there might have been a couple other factors that we'd have to deal with, they would either go to a mental health facility, a hospital, or they wouldn't. It was, either way, kind of, I wouldn't say black and white, but kind of. Mm-hmm. And then once the statutes changed, where we weren't the people making those decisions, it came down to human services. And that was a quick adjustment, and in the position I had, I wasn't out seeing it. I was more of an administrator, and Doug was, and Doug struggled with it a lot, and he came and offered up his concerns, and I'm politely saying that
that was often a pain in his side
often, and he didn't give up. know, it wasn't something that in 1 year to me and then out the other, but it continued. And then what evolved from that, quite honestly, is CIT, that training, you know, our crisis intervention team training with NAMI evolved with our department. He was the first one to go to CIT based upon the recommendation of Katie Siz. Hey, send him this. And she already had that background. She had the training. I'm like, okay. And then Doug went to the training and the light bulb went off. And then, and here we are. You know, I don't know how many training, how many classes we've had, maybe you know, but we train hundreds of law enforcement officers here in Wood County, right? Not just the commitment our agency has, but other law enforcement agencies seeing it and putting on that 40-hour training is something that I'm very proud of. It, like I said, at two different levels. You know, one, the wellness level, taking care of our people, and here now stretching out to the community, because this training is very important, because when we're out in the community, what we learn, we can apply that and help people through these situations that they're struggling in.
You know, you and I, and even Doug, I believe when you were with us before, Doug, have talked on mental health a lot in society, and especially with what you guys deal with. And mm-hmm. it's something that when I was young, you learn gallows humor real quick in the inner city, in the projects. You learn these things very quickly because that's how you survive. Days are hard. You learn to laugh at the, you know, laugh to keep from crying, and the old phrase and stuff. And it's something that my mother and I did quite a bit. As a kid, I really fell in love with like crime shows, crime stories. Going back to something like that, I've seen every single episode and every version of Law and Order there is. And not only is Jerry Orbach the best detective they ever had on that show, but he was the best at that one-liner, that line right before they went to the news and or right before they went to the theme song and everything. And I used to have friends that would kind of say, well, that's just unrealistic. Nobody would ever do that or anything like that. And trying to get them to understand that, no, this is how officers survive oftentimes, is by being able to have this gallows humor, if you will, this darker humor sometimes, or just humor in general. And I'm not saying that it's a laugh riot, obviously, but there are moments where you find that, hey, here's a moment for funny. Let's take it, because we don't know when we're going to get the next one. There's a tendency naturally for human beings to kind of, well, what my life is like and my job is like. Unless you're doing this work, there is no comparison. There is no comp to this. There are parallels, maybe. There are things you might find in common. But there's nothing like putting that badge on. And only you guys understand that. So then going to the mental health part of this. You know, Doug, I would say this to you no matter what. I appreciate your service. I think you're one of the braver human beings I know in doing what you've done for 30-some years. This action right here, the things that Sean is touching on, is some of the bravest stuff you're going to hear today, anybody. I appreciate that we're in a part of our society now where, oh, the strong, silent type, and we're getting away from that. And we're understanding the strongest, bravest people we know face these things, talk about these things, and even stronger than that, talk about it with others and help others. That's how we get by. That's how we survive, not only in your industry, but in life in general. I don't use this word lightly, trailblazer. Like in this work, and it's appreciative, not just in this community, not just in the departments you guys work in and everything, but in society in general, man, it's important. It's great work. And I appreciate the insight to this, you guys, because again, this is another one of those things I don't think as community members, we get to see very often or understand very much.
Yeah. The foundation that Doug left, I mean, you look at, you know, people can go through a career and they can coast through and just get by. He didn't. And then you look at the impact, like I just said, that'll last forever. You know, I mean, the wellness part of it's only going to grow for us, because it's a very important thing for not just law enforcement officers, but all first responders that deal with the traumas that go on, unfortunately, every day. And we have to take care of each other. And if we don't, then how do we expect to take care of the communities that we serve? And that's where, you know, the officer wellness that outreaches not only just, you know, our agency, but, you know, part of our CISM team that he's part of that does that, that not only just, it's not exclusive to law enforcement, it's to all of us. Because, you know, essentially when, you know, we're dealing with emergencies, we're all working together, you know. And then you look at, you know, like I said, it's fun to brag about. You know, I think people sometimes get sick of me talking about it, but you look at the people that have an impact on the community, and Doug did. You know, I'm going to hate to see him go, but you know, we talked a little bit this morning about, hey, what's the next plan? Because you brought it up right away in the show about, okay, what do you do? How do you unplug? You know, because people do struggle, and I do worry about that for anybody that leaves this profession, especially our team. But he knows this. Just like any retiree, they're always welcome at the department. Anytime they want to come in, they're always going to be welcome. Because sometimes people struggle with unplugging and moving forward. But he'll always be part of our team, and he knows that. But he's got a great plan moving forward. You know, you've got to look at your next steps in life. And, you know, on the way here, we were just talking about, you know, my daughter Jordan, you know, she's expecting, and that's our first, grandchild.
Mazel tov.
Yeah,
salute. That's
going, awesome. Going through that, all of what she's gone through with IBF and all of the time and the stress and the anxiety and to her to get to that point. Now she's 4.5 months along and had a big ultrasound yesterday, sending the pictures, and everything's looking awesome and things are looking great. So you look at those things and he's got a very strong family and that's the next thing to look forward to, and that's very admirable.
Mm-hmm. Doug, when it comes to what's next for you, without prying or anything like that, do you have something in line? Are you looking forward to it? Or I don't know. I never even think about retirement. So just now, just thinking about it, how about just nothing? Like, I like the idea of having nothing planned. That sounds great. That sounds like a first step into retirement. But do you have anything in line?
Oh, I've got a lot of irons in the fire.
Good. To Sean's point, I think it's just, you know, it's just good that you have some things lined up, that you have some thoughts on it. That's great. When it comes to some of the things else that Sean was talking about there about leaving the job and everything, there are certainly going to be parts of it, no matter how much you love any job, that are going to be nice, not having to wake up at a certain time or some of those things. But when it comes to the things you're going to miss, when it comes to the things you are most proud of, are there anything that stands out? Are there things that pop to your mind right away?
Just in the past 4 years as a mental health officer, I've had the opportunity to interact with a lot of people that have been at their lowest moments. And I know that there's at least three that we prevented a suicide. So just hanging on to that and just remembering that I had the privilege and the honor to be the person that was there to help those individuals through those situations. Those are memories that will never go away.
Yeah. And there's no topping that. That's wonderful to hear, and I appreciate you sharing that. It also adds to the parts of this that Sean, I think, was talking about, where we really want to highlight about you and your career is you've already taken on quite a bit just being an officer. Yep. You already go above and beyond in this job every day to do something like this, to welcome something like this, to seek it out and everything. It just... I brought this with Sean many times, but it pops in my head almost every time we get together with you guys. My nanny used to tease me about being, Jimmy, there are some people that just run where angels fear to tread. And there we need these individuals in our society. We need these people, the individuals like yourselves, and people like future officers out there that we're encouraging. And we have I would say that this has always been a very proud and very welcoming profession. Where we're going now with some of the things we've talked about with mental health and everything. I know just from talking, I've talked to people in like Second City, like actors and improv people who think more about this line of work now, in part because of the way society has gone with this. And it's not just, hey, tough it up. Hey, it's the job, tough it up or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Getting a little bit better about these things and being there for each other. Another thing that I touched on quite a bit that Sean mentioned earlier that's so important when we're talking about mental health, you know, when you're taking a flight on a plane, they tell you got to put your mask on first before you can put it on the other person. You're going to pass out before you even get it on them. Yep. You got to put your mask on first. Exactly. In order to be able to help others, you've got to be able to do that. And your whole job is helping others. Yep. So it's so vital for you guys to be doing these things and to be on the forefront of this, to be ahead of these things, if you will, if for lack of a better way to put it again, is really impactful for our community. And again, speaks to the work that you've done, your legacy here, if you will.
Legacy, you know, and you have one that we can brag about that we're always going to be appreciative, Doug. Yeah, I hate to see you go, but, you know, I understand big picture. You know, we have that moment in life that we move forward, and rest assured, you made a big impact on our department and the community.
Well, and I don't mean to be morbid here. I can't help myself sometimes, but we don't get to do this enough with our officers. You know, say, hey, enjoy retirement. Hey, and you know, you made it this. You made it this far and everything. So we're very appreciative of that as well.
Thank you.
Not lost on any of us. Doug, when it comes to some of the pranks you've pulled, do you have any favorite ones? Do you have any favorite?
Careful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know about that statute of limitations thing. I haven't looked into that.
So back in our old building, before the new jail was going up, we always used to park our squads near our entry door. They were all lined up. And my lieutenant at the time always got there first, and he parked in the first parking stall. Well, I happened to acquire a key to his squad. So this took about 3 months of every single shift. I would move his squad three or four spaces.
Oh.
And later on, I was talking to another member of my shift, and he said, yeah, we were walking out the other day, and the lieutenant was clicking his key fob, and he's just, I don't know, I must be losing my mind. My car's never where I thought I left it. And it was shortly after that I finally got caught. But it was 3 months.
Did you pay for it?
Oh, man.
Maybe.
I can't believe you did that to Lieutenant Loudy.
Not Lieutenant Loudy. Lieutenant Sager.
Oh, okay. I'm tearing up over here. That is a great one. Oh, that's a good one. I like that. I might steal that one. I might have to do that to Seth or something. Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's probably why you retired.
That's good. Did you have anything else about Doug you wanted to touch on before we get to kind of some odds and ends as we're getting close to wrapping up here, Sean?
You know, I said a lot, but, you know, I mean it with what I've mentioned about the impact you've had. And, just moving forward, and not just in my career, but the sheriff's department. You know, you look at the people that have laid groundwork to build upon a foundation, and we're lucky. You know, we are, and I think I know the community appreciates it, and really opened up an opportunity and something to move forward, especially, you know, talking about mental health.
Yeah, I'm simply a megaphone for this community many times, Doug, and we appreciate you, and we thank you for your service, and I hope you enjoy a long and fun and enjoyable retirement that you can still pull your pranks off in. You can still do it.
Thank you.
Sean, did you you had some odds and ends we wanted to touch on before we wrapped up today.
Just a couple of things to recognize. Adam Berry, Sergeant Adam Berry, Doug worked on that crew for a while. He's here with his part-time experience here 20 years already. So congrats to Adam. And then Christine Bethard, one of our canine handlers, she has Roscoe, and she's been here 15 years. So both of them started part-time with us. So like Doug did, that program that we have, it's huge.
Yeah, you know, it pays dividends.
Even with the lack of, interest in law enforcement, we've got some really good leaders, Kelvin Dohorst and Jeremy Keith, who gets out to, you know, push that program out. It seems like we're doing more backgrounds every year, but that's not something that we're going to step away from just because of the foundation that it builds. You know, our department and other agencies too. You know, just recently we hired two people, and they're both in the academy right now. And that's something that, you know, Doug can, you know, attest to, that we got to go get our experience before we can get back here. But now we're at a point where we'll sponsor people in the academy before they start with us. And Haley's Wislin was the first person we hired, and we're sponsoring her. And then Alexa Matthews, we just hired full-time. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, telling her, Alexa, at Mid-State, that she's now going to be full-time, was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to be the 40th graduating class at Mid-State Technical College. Wow. In a law enforcement recruit academy. Wow. And that's, you know, you reminisce about that. Doug went there. Just how many people, you know, with Mid-State committing to that program, and a lot of it's Clark Poggle, you know, God rest his soul, having that vision and pushing it through many years ago to where we're at now. 40 classes, you know, and I was just... thinking about, you know, that graduation class coming up here in May, and 40 classes of, you know, on average 25 people, do the math, and it's not the impact that Mid-State Technical College and Clark had on those officers, because they're all over the country working, but look at the impact that they had on people, on the communities they serve. So it's not just, you know, 40 times 25, it's well beyond that. And to really highlight Mid-State Technical Colleges, you know, the president there, Shelley, she's awesome. Her team there is just phenomenal. It's not just about law enforcement, but, you know, I can just, you know, comment about that because the impact it has had on our department and the country, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at how that outreach is just, is awesome, you know, and it's just something to highlight how lucky we are to have Mid-State Technical College here in our community, and the impact that college has on our community, not just in Wisconsin Rapids, but all over.
We know how to reach you for emergencies, but if a non-emergency thing, Sean, if somebody wanted to reach out to you, follow up on some of the things we've talked about today, or just in general, how can they do that?
You know, give us a call at the Sheriff's Department, 715-421-8705 is my direct line, or 8715 is our office, or dispatches 421-8701. That's going to get you right to a dispatcher.
It was an honor talking with you today, Doug. Thanks so much for the time and everything. And again, thank you for the service to our community. You enjoy retirement, man.
I will. Thank you.
Sean, always good hanging out with you. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate it.
And a big thank you to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, doing amazing work over there. Subscribe to their page to keep up to date on that great work, everybody. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.